and his guests talk about George Stephenson, the father of the railways, and his son Robert, whose contribution was arguably even greater. In Our Time is at 9:30.
Music with a powerful emotional impact.
It takes you almost back to the siren's call.
A groundbreaking piece by Debussy.
I am moved in ways that are very sentimental, which provides a sort of armor to go back into the turmoil of life.
Soul music continues with Prélude à l'après-midi d'un faune next Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock on BBC Radio 4, with previous episodes available now on BBC iPlayer Radio.
This is BBC Radio 4, and now it's time for the final episode of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, created by Douglas Adams. The Hexagonal Phase, based on And Another Thing by Owen Colfer. Most craft give a nod, however brief and unfriendly, towards beauty. Vogon ships do not nod towards beauty. They pull on ski masks and mug beauty in a dark alley. Vogon cruisers do not so much travel through space as defile it and toss it aside. And the business end is top of the range. She might not win any pageants, but she can wipe out the entire population of a world with a variety of advanced weaponry. As the ship moves into position over the planet Nano, upon which live the entirety of the remainder of humankind, that's exactly what Prostetnik Vogon Jelts intends to do. He is as yet unaware that his first officer, and incidentally his son, Constant Moan, is firmly opposed to the idea.
What are the sensors telling us, Constant?
Humanoids, 205. Still scanning.
Twinkle, twinkle, plop me a torpedo solution. Gunner.
Aye, sir.
Wait!
Wait? Did you say wait, Constant?
There is an immortal on the surface, sir. Class one.
You're certain?
Absolutely. We will have to retreat. We have no defences against a god.
A god? Well, this is the chance we have been waiting for.
Aye?
Gunner, fire in the general direction of that immortal.
Yes, sir.
But...
What?
What, sir? Torpedoes cannot harm a god.
Harm? No. Distract, yes.
Distract?
Yes, son. Distract this god from the secret experimental weapon we are about to carefully load into a tube.
Experimental weapon?
Secret experimental weapon.
You're right, Zyphod. With all these animals to eat and these mortals adoring me, I can put the bad old days behind me.
We are back, baby! Religion is the new atheism. Imagine how many tiny hammers we could sell to these idiots.
Still not as many clicks on the video of the wild bag of fight as I'd hoped, though.
Howdy-dee-do, my ventripotent benefactors. Ready for business? I have the official deity contract right here.
Okay, let's take a look.
Oh, you needn't bother. It's just standard god duties.
Holy days?
32, and two more for each child conceived with a mortal.
That's a sweet deal. Where do I sign?
Hey, hey, whoa, whoa, Blondie. Let the manager take a look first.
I could live here. It isn't exactly the political center of the galaxy, but at least there's no running and screaming.
Not yet, there isn't. Wait until the Vogons arrive.
Think positive.
All right, then. Let's say the Vogons don't come. We can settle here. You can live with me, or with Trillian, if you like, when she gets back from her honeymoon. You have options now.
Like running for office?
It might be a few years before you can take over the planet.
Maybe not yet, but I'll get there, believe me.
Oh, I'd bet on you beating the crap out of the bug bladder beast of Tral if you set your mind to it.
Get your towels, Arthur. Random. We have to leave.
Let me guess. The Vogons are on their way.
They're here. Look up.
Wow.
Holy Zarquan, that thing's huge.
Guide, analyze the vessel overhead.
Vessel is Vogon Bureau Cruiser Business End, Commander Prosetnik Vogon Jeltz.
Jeltz, eh? Say what you like about him, he's not one of life's quitters.
There's a more graphic expression for him.
Oh, yes. Completely lousy poet.
We're toast.
It does look that way.
The guide never lies.
That bloody thing lies all the time. Flying is easy. All you have to do is throw yourself at the ground and miss.
The Hitchhiker's Guide is 100% accurate. Reality, however, is not as trustworthy.
Hey, Hillman. What's this in pencil at the bottom of the page? Did you just write this in?
Ah, sure, and don't you be worrying about that. It's only a protection clause. It says that the presiding god, Thor in this case, is responsible for protecting the planet from alien attack. You know, big lasers or them nuclear weapons or the like.
Not a problem. We're not likely to need planet protection way out here for a couple of hundred years, are we? Sark!
People of the planetoid Nano, this is Prosetnik Vogon Jeltz of the Intergalactic Hyperspace Planning Council. The revised plans for development of the outlying regions of the galaxy require the demolition of Earth and all its dependent colonies. Please stand by for your imminent destruction. That is all. Jeltz out.
Just as I got this all sorted.
Pity. I would have liked to rule here for longer. Well, until my fight video got a few billion more clicks. Also, I have not impregnated anyone yet.
Now wait! We can work with this. In fact, this is gonna be great. Epic! Taking out a Vogon Bureau Cruiser is just the thing to get you all over the major networks. The Religicom channels love a bully basher almost as much as they love a martyr. Feel me, bro?
Yes, I feel you, I think.
Take a comms unit so we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, stream the video live onto the sub-ether. I can put on more of a show this time. Give the viewers some drama. That thing with Wild Burger was over way too fast.
Thor, baby, whatever you do, finish this a hero or a martyr, okay?
Don't worry, bro. I had the same idea.
Camera's rolling.
Time to deliver this planet from evil. Mjolnir! Take me up to that ship!
Oh, look at that boy go. He's like a bloody rocket with that hammer.
Right, Gunner. Ready with the decoys?
Missile holograph, sir.
Yes, let's see. Vikings, longships, beards, pointy shoes. No, flying horses.
Flying horses it is, sir.
Fire!
What's going on up there?
I'm just logging into the streaming feed on Sub-Ether. Ah, got it. Oh, they're getting extra angles from the Vogon Cruiser's cameras, too.
There's Thor.
What on earth are those things headed for him?
They look like flying horses. That's a bit mythical for a Vogon weapon.
My book is giving me 10-1 on the Vogons.
Can you pick up Thor?
There should be some kind of audio feed. Ah.
Come on then, with your fiery horses!
The sky is Thor's element! I have wind in my hair and insects in my teeth! Take this! This! Next! This is too easy!
The Immortal is destroying our decoys, sir!
As I anticipated, Gunner! Stand by for my next order!
Father!
By the book, boy, by the book!
Prosthetic Vogon Jeltz, the Immortal, sir!
Yeah, the big fairy with the hammer.
Yes, sir. The Special Directive on Extraordinary Encounters states that communication should be attempted before firing upon an immortal.
An admirable by-the-book objection, Constant. However, this god is an aggressor, which negates the Special Directive. He rose to meet us before we fired anything.
Bugger. You make an excellent point, Father.
Of course I do, and I haven't finished yet. Gunner?
Yes, sir.
Prepare the quest.
Yes, sir.
The quest?
Quest stands for Quite Unwieldy Experimental Sublimation Torpedo.
Experimental?
It's brand new! The brochure guarantees 100% extermination.
Of a god?
Oh, much more than that, Constant. Gunner?
Yes, sir.
Target the Earthlings. Let's see how much this god loves his people.
Yes, sir.
I want them all dead.
But I think that's Thor! The Thor! Are you sure you want to...
Fire!
Rest away! That god will soon be a holy relic, sir.
Oh, very good.
Well, thank you, sir.
Why don't you come up with things like that?
Look, the Vogons have just launched something else.
Another horse missile?
No, Thor's so busy smashing those, he missed this one.
I don't know how he missed it. It's the size of an asteroid.
Thor can deal with it, though, can't he?
It's not headed for him, Dad.
If that thing hits the ground, the impact crater alone will swallow the whole city.
The shockwave will liquefy us.
Zark! Thor, can you hear me?
Just a moment. That's the last missile.
Not exactly. Look behind and below you.
Huh? Oh, no.
Those Vogon bastards are going after my paycheck. Mjolnir!
Thor, it would really help our business deal if you could stop that thing hitting this planet and killing everybody.
Thor's seen the torpedo, and he's caught up with it.
Come on, Thor!
What's he doing?
He's walking along it.
Is it, does it?
The god has climbed aboard the torpedo, sir. He is walking towards the warhead.
Oh, these Viking gods, thick as...
Unless he plans to disable the guidance system.
Zark, detonate the quest. Prepare a second torpedo. We'll finish this job one way or the other.
No!
No?
No thing! Nothing, Father!
Stand by for detonation! Five. Thor!
I thought this planet had a future.
Even if we somehow survive this, your mother is still going to kill me for putting you in harm's way.
Surely the universe doesn't have any more chances for the Dent.
But surely nothing can kill a god.
Good grief, what just happened?
The torpedo turned into a huge cube and then disappeared into ash.
Where's Thor?
Not a sign of him.
Look, something's falling.
Mine!
What is it?
It's small and shiny.
Whatever it is, Zaphod's never going to catch it.
I've got it!
Oh. Well, hell, cousin.
Hey, great souvenir, right?
Thor's helmet.
What about Thor? He was your friend, don't you care?
Meh, he's a god. They're ineffable. He died to save this planet. That's gonna get a squillion clicks on the sub-ether, and I own the rights. Hey, Hillman, check this out.
So much for his best buddy.
This doesn't mean we are out of trouble. That Vogon ship is still up there.
The god is vaporized, sir!
I must say, that torpedo was rubbish. I was expecting a proper bang, the mother of all explosions.
Won't the gods be angry, Father? Us killing one of them?
They might file a complaint, son, but I doubt it will go past the strongly worded letter stage. Now, we must destroy every living thing on the surface of the planet Nano. Now the Earthlings are defenseless. Gunner, prepare to fire.
Preparing to fire, sir.
No!
No?
This is not right!
Well, how do you mean? Ethically?
It is not right! By the book!
Not by the book, you say? Not by the... Record this, would you, Gunner? I may have to explain the execution to his mother.
These people bought a planet from the Magrathians.
But the galactic government does not govern the Magrathians. They have their own little republic, which is a terrible example for the colonies, if you ask me.
But the Magrathians are a registered business with the government. They have a trade agreement.
I suppose.
Look, here is the relevant planning application from the New Worlds Office in Megabrantis. Nano's planet status has been approved by Central Planning.
So?
Look at the last paragraph. Megabrantis, as a matter of routine, also blanket approved the citizenship applications of the planet's owners. Legally, the Earthlings are no longer Earthlings. They are Nanites! If you vaporize these people, you vaporize a group of high-band taxpayers who have never filed a return.
Ah, frying citizens who owe back tax. That could put my place in the Hall of Crumpst in jeopardy.
Exactly, sir.
Constant Moan, you have saved me from making a bog hog's ear of this mission. There's nothing worse than obliterating the wrong taxpayers.
So, everybody wins!
Except Thor. Now, squeeze onto this chair beside me and we shall enjoy the false hope of hyperspace together. Yes. Gunner, stand down the torpedoes.
Oh, yes, sir.
Helmsman, hard about.
Aye, aye, sir.
Well, well, look at my son, all wide-eyed about his first voyage at the captain's knee. I'm indulging in a moment of semi-fondness for you. I believe I would like to rub your head.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you, Daddy.
There now. You will be one of the greats, a destroyer of worlds, a confounder of petitioners. Someday, my son, you will truly be an utter bastard.
Not yet, I'm not, Father. Not just yet.
The Vogons turned and ran. Thor has saved Nano under my management.
Are you kidding? The big Yomux is dead.
Not if you say he isn't.
Oh, I see. Very good.
And he will come again when he is needed.
Now you're getting it.
And the Lord Thor will communicate with his people only through me.
Oh, very good.
And if we, the Tyromancers, don't want to listen,
then Thor would be very unhappy, and so would his hammer.
That, fair point, that, as you were.
Ford?
Say, Ford, what's up?
I'm going to take the Heart of Gold and sneak off into improbability while these guys are celebrating.
It's not like you to leave a party.
Sure. I prefer to go covered in confetti, but, you know, I prefer freedom. The universe has different plans for Zaphod Beeblebrox. Wherever expensive-looking starships are left with the keys in the ignition, yours truly will be nearby. Wherever there are lonely females, I'll be there. Wherever cocktails are given free to celebrities, look for me.
And yet you're just some regular guy who doesn't mind going half a billion years out of his way to help a bunch of struggling colonists.
And if people believe that, I could always sell them some encyclopedias as an encore.
Ciao, baby.
Take care, cousin.
The Heart of Gold, piloted by Left Brain, its companion Right Brain, within the sole remaining cranium of Zaphod Beeblebrox, turns into a giant purple sponge cake and vanishes up its own improbability vortex. An image flashes on the ship's main screen. It shows a spinning hammer.
What is that, LB?
I don't know, dude. I can't keep track of everything on this tub.
Looks like a message. Play it.
Hey, Zaphod, it's me, Thor. I'm not dead.
I knew it!
It was the Manta comment. Like you said, when I heard the missile self-destruct signal come in, I give it 100% up to the Vulcan ship and hid in their pipework. Once they took off into hyperspace, I jumped off. Anyway, I'm back in Asgard now, ready for resurrection if you need me. Oh, last thing, keep your eye out for my helmet. I lost it in the explosion and it's my favorite. Oh, got to have to sign off. I have a call on the other line. Hey, nice work, manager.
So what now?
What were we doing before all this?
We were raising funds for your re-election campaign.
We were? But I'm already president.
You were president until the moment you were convicted of a first-degree felony.
Zark. So who is the actual president now?
Spinali Tronco of the Headless Horseman tribe of Jaglambita. But if you can get him to reduce the first degree felony to a second degree, you can challenge him for the job.
He's not gonna go for that.
You might need something to bribe him with. He already has money.
You know, I might have something to bargain with after all.
Like what?
What do you think of my new headgear?
Now I get it. Yeah, nice helmet, bro.
Free-ow!
The future for the planet Nano is certainly more secure after Thor's sacrifice than it was before. And for Arthur Dent, it creates an opportunity to help his daughter make a proper start in life.
So, Mr. and Ms. Dent, how can I help you this fine morning?
Random would like to put in for a citizenship application, Mr. Hunter.
Does she have any qualifications?
No, but I could study for a virtual degree.
Sure. I could put in an application for you.
Okay. What do I have to do in return?
Well, I could use some help running the place.
I'll be honest with you, Random. I'm an important man. I can't be wasting me valuable time dealing with small potatoes, health and safety violations, all those tax forms from Mega Brantis and so on and so forth and so fifth. Your father told me about your background in politics and...
And you want an assistant?
You put your finger on it like the bright girl you are. You get a nice apartment in the village and I'll start you on a level 3 wage.
Level 5?
5 it is!
Nicely done.
Thanks, Dad.
Be here at 8 o'clock sharp tomorrow morning.
I will.
You can expect me about 10:30. Cheery bye now.
Arthur has been feeling restless ever since the time he spent talking to the computer aboard Wowbagger's ship. The encounter with the consultant has been playing on his mind. Arthur is seeking something he has not found. He hopes Ford feels the same way.
Just you and me, hitchhiking. It'll be like the old days, but without the exploding planets. Seek and you shall find, and all that.
No can do, Arthur. You see, I've spent the past few days seeking, and I have found. There are an inordinate amount of spars on this little planet, and I feel the need to sample them all. I submitted a piece about Nano to the guide, and they've given me my job back. But you go. Have a great time. Send us a postcard.
I will.
I'll miss you, you know.
Really, Ford?
Nah, you kidding? With all these massage parlors? Get out of here.
In the worlds beyond the great Moosop of Rontoid, they celebrate the Feast of the Assumption of Saint Zalabad. Zalabad had been a great and popular king and had assumed that everyone would like to have a huge feast at his expense every year for no better reason than that it would be a terrifically good time for all concerned. And his assumption had proved to be entirely correct. So correct, in fact, that after his death, people made him a saint. They hadn't had any saints before and thought that having one who was just plain good-hearted would be a tremendously good start. There were grumbles, of course, there always are. There were those who said that you couldn't have a proper religion that wasn't based on some acts of senseless brutality that everyone could torture themselves about and maybe a few other people while they were at it. But everyone was just kind to these people till they shut up. The actual feast was one of singing and dancing in the streets, and nearly everyone was having fun. On one occasion, during his many travels, swept up in the cheerful celebrating crowds was Arthur Dent. It was one of the happiest days of his life, certainly up to the point where he met Fenchurch, and as he sits aboard a slump jet bound for a Losimana Sinica, he wonders if he will ever find happiness of any kind again. He is making one last journey through one particular hyperspace jump in the hope that it might bring back something he lost a long time ago at this same spot. Something he has missed every day since.
3, 2, 1. And we're through.
Oh, well.
And another thing, Arthur.
Fenchurch? Fenchurch!
Arthur? You're fading away. Arthur!
Oh, no! No! Not again!
Is everything all right, sir?
Arthur Dent's life, with all its memories, its loves, its hard-won battles, its instructive defeats, its rewards, its disappointments, in short, his entire experience, contains so much almost incredible bad luck that it is inevitable that it creates a providential imbalance, which brings almost unbelievably good fortune to a being at the opposite end of his probability arc. Thus, a certain Mr. A.G. Rajag, resuscitated after 6 months of near flatlining on his hospital monitor following his spaceliner's collision with an overdue UBID cargo ship, wakes to a cocktail reception from the Planetary Lotto Committee to celebrate his numbers coming up for the biggest prize ever awarded. At the same moment, his childhood sweetheart, who has recognized Mr. A.G. Rajag from his stint on Celebrity Coma, bursts into his hospital room, declaring her long-nurtured and genuine love. The pair decide to marry. Had Arthur Dent known about the Rajags, it might have cheered him up a little, but not much. Instead, bereft and miserable, he retraces a journey he took once before, to a beach near the monastery of the Holy Lunching Friars of Vunden. Arthur walks along the sand, expecting nothing, hoping for nothing. But there is a shack there with a veranda, and outside, a small, familiar figure is sweeping sand off the decking.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, it's you.
And it's you. Hello, Marvin. I thought I'd dreamed this place. Oh well, it's an ill wind that blows nobody any good.
It probably is. I wouldn't be surprised to see some pretty sick fog coming in over the marshes as well.
So you were repaired?
You say that as if it gave me any pleasure. The number of times people expect me to be grateful for existing, it's wretched. They stop me in the street and say things like, "Give us a grin, little robot, give us a chuckle." I have to explain that to put a grin on my face would take a good couple of hours in a workshop with a pipe wrench.
I don't care. Be as miserable as you want. It's good to see you.
No, it isn't.
You're quite correct. It's miserable to see you. Look, can I pop inside and run myself a bath? It's been a tough few days.
Why not? You live here.
Really? Oh. I must have wandered into another of these parallel universes, then.
Whatever. Don't get too comfortable.
What do you mean?
The Vogons came over. Apparently you forgot to obtain a planning permit for your shack.
Oh, great. Perfect. Typical. Don't tell me they're still here.
In that case, I won't.
Oh, Arthur, you're back.
Fenchurch?
I was just filling out the planning application. You're home just in time for tea.
Oh. Well, that's nice.
Call this job satisfaction, because I don't. Here I am, brain the size of a planet.
And at this precise moment, at the opposite end of the probability arc, a certain Mr. A.G. Rajag, having been caught fiddling his lottery numbers, is being slathered in barbecue sauce and thrown to the ravenous bug bladder beast of Trull. That was the final episode of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Hexagonal Phase, based on And Another Thing by Owen Colfer, with additional material by Douglas Adams. John Lloyd was the book. Simon Jones played Arthur Dent. Ford Prefect was played by Jeff McGiven. Zaphod Beeblebrox, Mark Wing Davy. Trillian, Sandra Dickinson. Random, Samantha Bayar. Jelts, Toby Longworth. Constant Moan, Andy Seacombe. Acid Preflux, Philip Pope, The Gunner Vogon, Tom Alexander, and Mitch Benn played Left Brain and Thor. Hillman Hunter was played by Ed Byrne. Fenchurch was played by Jane Horrocks, and Marvin was played by Jim Broadbent. The music was by Philip Pope, and the production research by Kevin John Davis. The announcer was John Marsh. The episode was written and directed by Dirk Maggs. The producers were Dirk Maggs, Helen Chatwell and David Morley, and it was a perfectly normal production for BBC Radio 4. With grateful thanks to Douglas, Jane, Polly and Ed.
You'll find more about the series